what Hegel means by the coexistence of opposites in one and the same being. Human life contains the seeds of its own passing away. Only dialectical reason can understand this. Understanding, on the contrary, thinks of life and death as distinct and simply opposed to each other. It thinks of them one at a time. Understanding has no idea how life can involve death. In every process of becoming, Hegel says, there is change. What is not yet actual comes into being. A thing that changes also retains its identity. Today I'm different from what I was yesterday, but I'm also the same person. Self-identity, remaining the same person, is one of Hegel's most important categories. He says that everything is identical with itself. A is A, B is B, and so forth. But we grasp this feature in a more intimate way within ourselves. I am I. Hegel sees everything as becoming and undergoing change. He wants to understand how changing or becoming different can coexist with sameness. Again, we face the problem of relating opposites. Hegel describes self-identity in terms of the understanding.
This identity becomes an identity in form only, or of the understanding, if it be held hard and fast, quite aloof from difference. It is important to come to a proper understanding on the true meaning of identity. And for that purpose, we must especially guard against taking it as an abstract identity, to the exclusion of all difference. That is the touchstone for distinguishing all bad philosophy from what alone deserves the name of philosophy.
It's one thing for two individuals to be different from one another, while each retains his or her identity. But it's quite another thing to understand how a changing individual can still be the same. Hegel says, if we're to understand our own self-development, we must also understand why our identity can, must, include difference. Let's clarify Hegel's meaning by focusing on the way we come to know another person. Consider Socrates once again. Like all men, Socrates was present to himself and to others around him as a unified, unique person. We say Socrates is Socrates, thus identifying him. Consider further that we want to know something about Socrates, who he was, what his interests were, how he used his talents, a host of other questions. We can't do that by just repeating Socrates is Socrates. We want to be able to say something more specific about him. We can say he was a philosopher who was concerned for the good of the soul. We can say his purported conversations were memorialized by Plato, that he was the husband of Xanthippe, that he vexed his contemporaries by teaching the young to think for themselves, and he finally was condemned to death for supposedly offending the established deities. We started, in short, with the one Socrates. Now, trying to understand who he was, we wound up with the many features that define Socrates as an historical figure. Socrates is thus not only a one, nor is he only a many. He is concretely both a one and a many. We need to grasp how the real Socrates is both his unity and all the features we know about him. This concrete unity, what Hegel calls the concept, is grasped by seeing just how the many fragments of Socrates together make up the whole man. Stated more abstractly, all of Hegel's thought is pervaded by the movement from the one to the many. Each thing progresses from an abstract one through the many things that define that one to a concrete unity of the two together, the unity of the one and the many. We can see this combination of unity and diversity in some of the theories of modern science. Consider how a fertilized ovum becomes an adult organism. The genetic code in the DNA of a single cell provides the principle of organization. The ovum divides into the various parts and organs of the embryo, which develops into the complete unified organism. So the fertilized ovum is a single cell, a unity, but it contains within it the instructions for a wonderfully complex and diverse set of organs and tissues that make up a human body. In another example, physicists have long sought what they call a unified field theory. Even Einstein worked toward this goal later in his life, but he didn't succeed. physicists now have many laws and theories for motion, electromagnetism, gravity, and other phenomena, but these laws aren't completely coordinated and linked. Many scientists would like to create a theory that describes the diverse activities of the physical world in one coherent, unified whole. This would be a unity that coherently explains a diverse range of natural phenomena. In one final example, modern laser technology has created the hologram.